Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We'll head to Orono now. Gary, you're on CCO.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks to CCO for putting this game on. It was just a blast. Just a little tidbit that I kind of picked up when I was listening. That World Series was 55 years ago. The Twins used three starting pitchers, Jim Cott, Mudcat Grant, and Camilo Pascual. Camilo pitched one game. Cotton and Mudcat pitched the other six. For the Dodgers, Koufax, Drysdale, Claude Steen. Out of those six guys, five of them are still alive. Drysdale has passed away. They're all in their 80s. Jim Cott and Camilo and Koufax and Claude Steen all look like $1 million yet, even in their 80s. I think Mudcat's struggling a little bit with mobility, but it's an amazing deal that five of those six guys are still around. And the other thing, all of those guys pitched tons of innings. And of course, Koufax had to retire at 30 years old because of arm issues. But all those other guys pitched tons of innings in their careers and not a Tommy John surgery between them.
It's an all right, great points, Gary. And I think you're exactly right. You know, I've seen Sandy Koufax on television occasionally. He looks like he could go out and still give somebody seven innings on the mound. And Jim Cott, of course, in great shape. We see him at Twins Fest, and he's joining us now here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline on a Sports Saturday. And Jim, thanks so much for your time. But we just aired that 65 World Series Game 1 here on WCCO, the NBC Sports version with Vin Scully and Ray Scott. It was a tremendous flashback, Jim, and you were part of it. What was it like to be on that World Series stage? The Minnesota Twins were 4 years old, and suddenly they're in the Fall Classic against the iconic Dodgers.
Well, first of all, Eric, Gary, I think, who just called in from Orono. The other unique thing about that World Series, when you mentioned all of us old geezers that pitched, every game was a complete game win. And to my knowledge, that's the last time that happened in the World Series. You know, Mudcat, who pitched so well in game one, then won game six. And it was fun. I mean, I don't think we had the urgency. I remember I still have the record. It's not a record of accomplishment. It's just a trivia record of the longest period of time between World Series. And I got there 17 years later with the Cardinals, and we won in seven. And At that time, I sensed a great deal more urgency. So, you know, that was my last full year. And with the 65 team, you know, wow, we got to the World Series. Isn't that great? But we had a good team, and you have the feeling that, hey, we're going to get back again. And then, of course, when you run into Koufax, it's, and fortunately, I'm honored that Sandy and I have become friends, that, you know, it was so, I guess you'd say, depressing to see our hitters go up there, because he was just a man among boys. And it was just hard to get any kind of excitement, any kind of a rally going against him.
Yeah, and of course, you and Sandy were matched up in that Game 7 at the Old Met. It was a 2-0 Dodgers win. Certainly you pitched very well. As you said, Sandy was, you know, unbelievable. And if I remember, I didn't see it, but I've read about that World Series. Lou Johnson made a sliding catch to kind of preserve things for the Dodgers?
Well, actually, the sliding catch was what Bob Allison, one of the great catches in World Series history. But it you know, before cable television and everything like that, it somewhat unnoticed when you think about Willie Mays' catch and some of Devon White's and Kirby's, but Bob made a great catch game two that bailed me out and enabled us to beat the Dodgers in Koufax in game two. But in game seven, really, they scored two runs off me on three consecutive pitches that took a total of about a minute and a half. Lou Johnson hooked one off the foul pole. Ron Fairley got a double, and then Wes Parker, trying to advance to third, booped one into right field. They got two runs. Basically, the game was over. But we had Koufax on the ropes, if you could call it that. And I think it was the fifth inning. Drysdale was warming up. Sandy found he could not throw his curveball. And Zoilo hit a shot down the left field line beside the bag, and Gilliam made a great play on it. Would have been a double, and they may have had to remove Koufax from the game then. So that, to me, stands out in my mind as the turning point in Game 7, where maybe we would have had a chance to come back. But, you know, tip my cap to Sandy to be able to do what he did, shut out Game 5, come back on 2 days' rest, complete shutout in Game 7. That's unheard of today.
Yeah, a complete Game 3 hitter for Sandy Koufax in that Game 7 of the 65 World Series as the Dodgers beat the Twins 4-3. And he didn't pitch Game 1 because of the Yom Kippur Jewish holiday, so Walter Alston started Don Drysdale. But when you look at what he did, I guess more recently I would think of Madison Bumgarner with the Giants against the Royals a few years ago, and that's when the superstars really shine, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think a cute kind of a cute story about that Drysdale starting Game 1, and you may have heard it, but I always get a charge out of some audiences when they hear it for the first time. But with Don Drysdale starting Game 1 and Sandy not because of Yom Kippur, we knocked Drysdale around pretty good, knocked him out, I think, maybe in the fourth inning. And when Alston came out to get the ball, he handed it to Drysdale handed Alston the ball and said, "I bet you wish I was Jewish, don't you?" Everybody got a kick out of that one. But, yeah, I think what Bumgarner did, and that's what Randy Johnson later, that's what starters did, is they would come out of the bullpen. Everybody thinks that's new, but that even went back to Clay Reynolds in the late 40s for the Yankees when, you know, your aces would come out of the bullpen in postseason if needed.
Jim Cott, our guest, former Twins pitcher, had an outstanding Major League Baseball career, 16-time Gold Glove winner, and also one of the top broadcasters in MLB. And you said it earlier, Jim, so the Twins in their fourth season in Minnesota, suddenly they're in the World Series, they're playing the LA Dodgers, you're a young player, you don't win it, but there's probably that thought process that, okay, we'll get back, I'll have another chance. And you had to wait 17 years, so it doesn't always guarantee you're going to get that second opportunity, does it, when you're young?
Well, that's why I was kind of critical of the Nationals when they shut Strasburg down. I really thought the way he was pitching, they would have gone to the World Series. He subsequently had surgery anyway, but I'm happy for him that he came back, you know, I think like 8 years later and was now a World Series winner. But yeah, when you're young and you have a good team, and nowadays the chances are a little better because of the playoff format. But in those days, you know, like in 67, we'd get beat on the final day of the season. You just go home. There's no playoffs to get to the World Series. So you have to treasure those times when you get them. And I certainly did, and I have fond memories of both the 65, even though we lost in 7, and then, of course, in 1982 with the Cardinals when we won in 7.
Jim, as we look at what's going on today with the global pandemic of COVID-19, which is affecting everybody everywhere, including all the sports, if you're playing today, how are you approaching this? You can't get together with your teammates to work out or practice. You don't know when the season's going to start, if there's going to be a season. What would you be doing as a player to try to stay sharp in case that bell rings here in a few weeks?
Well, Eric, the only thing I can relate to is the 50-day strike we had in 1981. And obviously that was not as serious as the global situation we're passing today, or that we're dealing with today. But as the time passed there, we had little groups, you know, a couple guys that would get together. It was at a college out in Marysville, Missouri, just outside of St. Louis. And we just played catch, played pepper, took a little informal batting practice. Some guys didn't do too much. And when it, you know, I remember urging Bowie Kuhn, the commissioner at the time, to use his power, as they said, in the best interest of baseball. And I said, Bowie, the players aren't going to give in. You know, we're holding fast, always have. But the owners had 50 days of strike insurance, so that strike was settled on the 51st. And we kind of had an idea it was coming to an end, so we began to have some, you know, formal workouts. But then the team got a chance to play a few inter-squad games, and we were ready to go the second half. Granted, we'd already played about 50 games that season, but I would guess, and I know down here, I'm not very fortunate, first of all, my wife and I, to be living in South Florida, where we have a bit of normalcy here. You know, we're in a very small area, and we're able to do our normal everyday activities. So we feel very fortunate. But I think there are some guys working out down at Cardinal Camp, and I would expect to have the same thing. And the shape these guys keep themselves in today, I think once we get an idea when the season might start, you give them 10 days, and I would think they'd be ready to go.
Jim Cott, our guest here on a Sports Saturday on CCO, 16-time Gold Glove winner, one of the great Minnesota Twins pitchers in franchise history. Jim, there are a lot of scenarios being tossed out there now because nobody knows if and when the season is going to start. But what do you think the least amount of games MLB could play and say, okay, we're going to have a season before they would say, you know what, we're going to scrap the whole thing? Would it be 100, 120, any idea?
You know, I don't know. Like everybody, it's uncharted territories. We've never been faced with anything like this, so I certainly wouldn't be in a position to hazard a guess. I am close with Tony Petitti. Tony hired me at the MLB Network, and he now works alongside the commissioner, and they meet every day. And call the owners, I'm sure, to keep them up to date as to how many games they could play. I would think they might play, I don't know, I would say as few as 80 games, but I think the one thing they would do is probably have an expanded playoff format. Of course, I've always said, as jump to another subject quickly, is that I think baseball is so ready for drastic changes, and I've told the commissioner this, that I'd like to see baseball maybe go to split season, 70 games a season, make September what March Madness was to basketball. Unfortunately, we're missing that this year. Maybe seven-inning games, 10-man pitching staffs. Everybody I talk to, the season's too long, the games are too long. So that's another subject, I know, for a discussion another day. But with that being said, I would think as few as 80 games they might still play.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up because I was going to ask you on the other side of this horrible situation we're all going through. We're going to get through it. We're going to power our way through it somehow, some way. What should Major League Baseball do? Because I do think they need to tweak and tinker and maybe make some radical changes. You talked about length of game. I'm looking at these, you know, game times in that 65 World Series. They were all right around 2.5 hours. So things have changed a lot in 55 years. Major League Baseball does need to take a look in the mirror, doesn't it?
Well, I think they do, and I think, you know, what this recent pandemic has done is take, fortunately for the Astros, a lot of attention away from, you know, what was a real black mark on Major League Baseball, and the Red Sox are about to rule on them. I saw where their attorney said they're very confident they did nothing wrong, but that's been sort of a stain on the game, and along coupled with that, that, I mean, the fans I run into that just say the game is too long, yet I know attendance is still good and the TV ratings are good. The owners are making money from cover and different sources, but I just, to make the game more interesting and maybe down the road attract younger people. I was with a couple of young men just yesterday. Young teenagers, they don't play baseball anymore. They play lacrosse, they play soccer, they play volleyball, play sports that have some action. And that's why I think maybe the shorter game, shorter season, you know, cut it down to 10 pitchers where you're using your elite pitchers a little more often and making the games more like they were back in the 60s. Of course, the logical thing, Eric, if they really wanted to shorten the games, is just simply deaden the ball, regulate the bat. It would put more doubles and triples in the game, but I don't think they're going to do that because, as the saying goes, chicks take long ball. So I think they, you know, I think they like the fact that home runs are flying out at a record pace.
It's all about the taters and the bombas, especially here in Minnesota. Yeah. Well, hey, Jim, great to connect with you. Hopefully we can do it periodically during the summer, and hopefully we will have games in 2020. But thanks so much for your insight and some flashbacks on that 65 World Series.
Well, thanks for having me, and we'll hope that we got the games on the radio real soon.
All right, very good. He's Jim Cott, 16-time Gold Glove winner, pitched in that Game 7 of the 65 World Series against Sandy Koufax, a couple of elite southpaws. And let me tell you, if you see those guys today, they're in their 80s, I still think they could give you seven innings.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.